That's a heart-wrenching question when you think about it. And I guess maybe all of us have wondered about it at one time in our life. Why did Jesus have to leave the earth? He could have stayed here for time and eternity. He didn't die when he left. He had already conquered death and hell in the grave. So why did he return to heaven? We know that our Lord went to serve as our mediator, the one who stands between and intervenes for us. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." 1 Timothy 2:5. But that's not all. Jesus said also, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I'm going to send him to you." That's what I was sharing with you in the gospel that I read. Well, the Holy Spirit only came to remain in the world after Jesus ascended into heaven. He came not just to this world, but also to a very special, intimate place inside our hearts. He is a very personal gift from Jesus to you and to me. 1 Corinthians 3:16. So why did Jesus leave? Because if he hadn't gone away, the scripture says, the Comforter would not have come. And the Lord knew how desperately we would need the Comforter in our lives, especially now in these days before Christ's return. What a gift! He is our inner guardian of who we are and what we are and what we are to become in Christ. So in that sense, if you think about it, he is the box inside of us. I think that's a pretty good way of thinking about it. He is in this box we call our conscience. Well, the precious Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is not just installed by human efforts. No, he comes to dwell within us the moment we open our hearts to the Lord. Lord, come into my life and be Lord over it. And because he is Spirit, he knows no limitation, not time or place or space, Romans 8:9. So when Jesus was here on the earth, he lived in human form and was subject to human limitations. In his whole life here, he probably didn't travel more than a few hundred miles. And when he preached, his largest recorded crowd was the 5,000. He knew what it was like to suffer weariness and pain and temptation. And he recognized that every human being at some time or another would need to be comforted and helped by a supernatural presence. So he left the earth and went back to the Father in heaven so that he could send back the Holy Spirit to dwell in the hearts of men and women of today. Because of that, he can now be everywhere at once, ministering moment by moment to all who call upon his name. And now in the Old Testament time, the Holy Spirit revealed himself in periods of visitation. He came for a season and then he departed. The psalmist, King David, cried out, "Take not your spirit from me." I love it when you're here with me in Psalm 51:11. Well, Jesus promised that he would never leave us. So if that's the way he had to do it, and he went back to the Father and sent the Comforter to come and abide with us, within us forever and ever, the Holy Spirit is not just in one location. He's not just in a 100-mile radius. He's everywhere. And you do not have to try to find him. He is always with you. You have the greatest gift of all, where no one can take it from you. As I referred to it, this little box deep down inside. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Now, there's three truths that we must know about God. And I just want to give you a couple. There's a lot of truth, but here's three. Some of the glorious truth that we all need to understand, but sometimes we need to be aware that we never need to forget them. First thing is God never changes. In our world, everything seems to be constantly changing. Standards change from moment to the next. If you buy a new computer, by the time it's installed, it's obsolete. Amen. It's really amazing and bewildering at the same time. But God's word said, "For I am the Lord. I change not." Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. That means that his standards don't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. Now, our modern society proposes new morality. It calls it situational ethics. So if the situation calls for it, do it. Situational ethics say there's no absolute. What is right depends on circumstances. Well, I think maybe this is why so many young people today, having no anchors in their world, they flounder frantically from one situation to another, beset by uncertainty and doubt. However, God promises that He will guide us into all truth, as I shared in John chapter 16. Because He doesn't change, He guides us to know His will. Not only did the Word become flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, but God also gave us the written Word. We call it the Bible. So that today we have the absolutes of His mind and never have to wonder or doubt. There's no wavering because God doesn't change. The other thing is the Holy Spirit comforts us. And how we need His comfort. With all the peril and uncertainty and all the threats in the world today, we don't have to be afraid. We are comforted. Now, we all have somebody in our life sometimes. We call it a friend, a wife, or a brother or sister in Christ that sometimes they comfort us as we share God's Word because we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another. But I love the buts. How wonderful that our heavenly Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is never too busy to comfort us and love us, and He's always there. I heard a story about a man who was traveling on a train and began talking with a fellow passenger. He told him that his wife had just died and that he felt so alone. He said, "Do you know the only thing I have left is my pet bird? At least I find some comfort with my paraclete." Well, his friend on the train said, who was a pastor, "Oh no, you got something far better than that. You got the paraclete." Kind of cute play on words, the comforter. Now, He will never leave you nor forsake you. So in these troublesome days that we all live in, the time just prior to the coming of the Lord, the comforter is found in the third person of the Trinity, in that little box inside that I was talking about. He gives us power to do right. Now, I may not always have the strength on my own to resist temptation and to do what is right, but the Spirit of the living God will empower me and guide me into all truth. God doesn't say, "Thou shalt not," because He wants to limit me or make me happy. No, He says, because He knows the things of the world bring pain and unhappiness. Adulterers, they're not happy people. Thieves, they're never satisfied with ill-gotten gains. They keep on stealing. Murderers are never happy. Never. Even in this day and age where fanatic people are murdering people in the name of religion, they never find happiness and peace. No. Only God can give us the ability to be happy and content. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you," Acts 1:8. And power to overcome this world is found in that little box, Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You might say, "Well, wait a minute, there's no way that I can live for God. I just can't do it." And you're looking at your own strength and will. That's true. But if you walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to live through you, the power is there in that little box inside. So not only does the Spirit of the living God give us power to overcome the things of this world, but He also empowers us to display the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And it go on to say that if we live in the Spirit, we have the power to walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in that power, we can show the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Can you imagine? You can have all the power that you need for the day and this age that we're living in. Not only can we overcome the world and find comfort, but we can also demonstrate and activate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Because wherever we go, He goes with us. We so desperately need that today. A reminder that the Spirit of God is with us everywhere that we go. There's so little joy out there in the world, so little love, so little peace, so little gentleness, so little goodness, but there are attributes that come alive within us in that little box when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, you've heard me say it many times, when you accept Christ into your life, you don't get Him in pieces. No, when you confess the Lord and you believe that He was raised from the dead, you'll be saved, and He will bless you with God the Father, God the Son, and more importantly, God the Holy Spirit. And you'll never be alone, in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for tuning in, and hope and pray you have a wonderful day. Hope and pray you'll come to see us in church sometime soon. And just remember, God loves you, and so do we.